Welcome to DAT Podcast, a place for digital age teachers to talk DAT talk about teaching in the 21st century. Here, we welcome all educators, ranging from those who don't know how to right-click to those who could probably build their own computers themselves. With technology now being ubiquitous in our schools, we have no choice now but to accept the reality that we are all in this together. We are here to guide you through the world of educational technology and all it has to offer to help you navigate teaching in the digital age we live in. I'm Marcus Stein, head of teacher success at Kami, one of your favorite EdTech apps.
And I am Dr. Sarah Dempster, assistant professor of education and educational technology specialist. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to season two, y'all.
Welcome! Listen, it's been a while, but we're back again. And this time, we're representing even more teacher perspectives.
Yes.
I've spent over a decade as an EdTech vendor and professional development consultant, so I'm really keen on the types of products and services that are out there to support schools. I'm also far too aware of the mediocre or just enough things out there that are sometimes thrown at schools.
And I've been a teacher education professor for about 7 years now and have recently taken over as the director of the Center for Teaching Excellence at the university I work at. So I've been working with pre-service emerging teacher candidates and I've gained lots of insight into how they think and approach various aspects of their future careers. And then in my new role, I will be working to coordinate training for university faculty and staff focused on developing experiences that enhance student success and retention. And I have actually provided lots of training for this group of people before, so I've learned a lot about the needs of university faculty and staff as it relates to educational technology.
So you caught that, people? We got the post-secondary perspective from Dr. Dempster. We have this professional development consulting and vendor perspective from me. And we'll be adding another perspective this season as well. We'll drop that later. Right, Doc? We'll let them know later.
Yeah. A new voice. I wanted to say a new face, but then I'm like, wait, it's a new voice.
Wait, we don't have the camera on. So we will have another voice. You can probably guess from the gap that it'll be a K-12 person joining us. But today, it's your two favorite EdTech pals, Dr. Dempster and Marcus. And thank y'all so much for being here.
Yes, thank you.
In the spirit of a new season, we're deciding to experiment with a new format. And so check this out. This is what we're going to do differently. We're going to frame a topic as usual, something really pertinent, important, relevant in the EdTech world. What we're going to do differently, though, is we'll be asking each other questions and inviting guests to question too. So less lecture, more conversation. After the conversation, we're combining our previous research and lesson learned segment into something just called The Floor Is Yours. Sometimes, you know, there's a thing you learn, a tip you saw on TikTok, and it just cannot wait for that topic to come up. So we want to give you the floor to talk about it. So anything burning, new, hot, fresh in EdTech, we'll be highlighting towards the end of the show. And then before we close, as always, we're going to leave you with some love and optimism. So similar show, way less formal. Yeah, like it's a little chill. You know, we drop in our shoulders. Like we're basically wearing our... Yeah, it's like work from home attire, like joggers.
Oh. Perf. I don't own joggers, but okay.
Wait, no. Okay. That's an episode.
We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about that later. But today, we're going to talk about something that everybody is feeling, and that's things after the pandemic that just have never been the same, and they will never be the same. We're going to have a conversation today about the good and the bad things that have happened since the pandemic and what that means for the future of our roles. So let's do it. All right, Dr. Dempster, you're up first. I would like to know from you, what is something in your world, the university world, the teacher education world, that is not and will not ever be the same?
For me, the thing I have really noticed is pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic student engagement, specifically my college student engagement. You know, before the pandemic, everyone really wanted online learning. I want to be self-paced. I want to work when I have time, work at, things at my own pace whenever I want to. But now I really feel that people are looking for something different than that. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for engagement, in-person activities, support from, people, live people in real time. And I'm really starting to see this in my students who are starting to interact with lectures more than ever before. Right out of the pandemic, it was like crickets when you would ask a question. You would try to interact with them and get them really engaged, and they would just kind of look at you because everyone was so used to like being online and not really having to interact with someone who was doing an online, session. But now that we've kind of been back, in person for a while, it really feels like they are looking for that, interaction with their peers, with their instructors. I ask questions and like several hands go up. And that is something that is very new more recently. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, you guys want to say something.
Oh, y'all want to participate.
You want to talk to me? What is this? And when they answer questions, it's like they catch me off guard with the most like thoughtful and meaningful responses. And it's really good. Like I'm very excited about this current group of like future educators because they're going to be good just based off of how they interact and answer questions and really put thought behind, what they're saying. And, it's just very exciting to like be interactive again with, real life people and to have them like wanting that is just really awesome to see that because I feel that in myself as well. Like I am wanting, that kind of interaction as well. So it's really been great to, see that in my students. And then I also have seen this in our faculty meetings, which is fascinating. We're all now like excited to, have a faculty meeting in person, which is, crazy because before everyone was like, oh, a faculty meeting. But now it's like, oh, we get to see everyone and it's very exciting. So that is something I've just kind of observed, over the past couple of semesters that we're really back in person.
That gives me hope. Yeah. It gives me like hope. During the pandemic, yep. I was fearful that we would become kind of robots and real transactional and stationary. Like, did you log into Moodle? Did you do your assignment? Like, where everything just became about a checklist.
Yep. Yeah. And specifically with my students, I saw like the passion for teaching and their future careers kind of dim. And it was so disappointing and so upsetting because normally this group of students was just so excited to be teachers and like ready to make impacts on, their future students. And it's like, we kind of saw that light dim because it was just so hard to really have that interaction with students that they were used to. And it was just hard to overcome that, over the past couple of years, but I see it coming back like better than ever before and like stronger. And like, I see the fire in, in them to, be a teacher and have an impact on the students that they will work with. And it is very exciting and inspiring.
Well, let me ask you this. So like, this makes me so happy that the students who are adults are more engaged. The faculty is more in person. I'm sure everyone is excited to hug each other again. And I'm glad that the love is coming back to teaching. But the reality is a lot of classes are still online, right? Like just in general, a lot of courses are still offered virtually.
I would say at our university, it's still a good mix. And especially in teacher ed, we're back to what we were before.
Awesome.
In very specific cases, sometimes a course has had to be moved to an online format for different reasons. Like, we had to hire somebody part-time to teach it and they have, they're a full-time teacher. So we maybe had to transition to an online format for a semester. But as far as our department, we're pretty much back to, kind of offering in the format that we know is the best for students to make sure they get the experience and are able to develop the knowledge and skills that they need, for their future careers.
Yeah.
And I don't know a ton about other departments, but I would imagine that other departments like nursing and business, those like super professional like departments are really keying into what is the best for their students at this time. But I will say there still are like our general education classes that everyone has to take. So like English, 100 level English or some of those other classes that are just kind of lower level and they're not necessarily part of your professional career. Those are being offered in online formats and they kind of always have been.
Yeah. Do you think post COVID those types of classes are seeing more engagement or less engagement?
I don't know. That's a fascinating question, though. And I will look into it because
I would be interested. We will revisit that. But yes. I would be really interested to know, like, yep. how are people behaving in online classes now?
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody has a different preference, but.
Right. And have we learned some online etiquette? Have
yeah,
we
like,
gosh, remember, like, right after everyone was online, like, no one had online etiquette. Everyone, like, adults were the worst, even. Like, everyone's speaking over each other, or you leave yourself unmuted, and you're doing, like, all these things around your house and being so loud. Oh, gosh. I hope we have learned some things. All right, Marcus, tell us your thing that will never be the same.
So mine is kind of related to yours. In the edtech professional development vendor world, I have noticed a decline overall in schools allowing time for outside people to bring in professional development. Before the pandemic, you know, I would work with schools during PLCs. I would come after school, before school, and offer professional development and coaching. And now what I'm finding is schools are embedding professional development naturally. And so when they call upon our support and services, it's really mostly virtual. So knowing that I do some in-person, but a crap ton of virtual, engagement has changed. Because it is very easy for me to be engaging in person. I'm a walking comedian. Ask about me. Just keeping it real. And to bring that virtually is really hard. So this is what I discovered one day. This was shortly after the pandemic. People were going back to school and happy to see each other, like Dr. Dempster said. And yet here I am still at home on a webinar. But it's cool because this is what I do for a living. And I was teaching a group of teachers, an elementary group of teachers. They were all in a classroom together, clearly having a good time. There were donuts. they were feeling a fantasy. I was starving. And before I could finish introducing myself, somebody in the audience got on the microphone and interrupted me and was like, "What is that fur pelt in the background?" And I said, "Excuse me?" I was like, "What?" I was like, "What? Fur pelt?" And she's like, yeah. "On the shelves behind you, there's a fur pelt. Like, what animal is that?" And I was like, "It's a nutria rat."
Oh my gosh.
If you don't know what a nutria rat is, Google it now immediately. It's an invasive rodent to Louisiana. And I have a pelt. Why? That's another story. But at that moment, it made me realize that when you're a virtual professional development provider, when you offer virtual support and services, and you are live and on that camera, everything that's on camera is a moment to engage your audience. And I took that for granted. Like, I didn't realize how somebody might really pinch their eyes and be like, "What is that in the background? What is that?" So the thing that I have changed is I am really intentional when I turn on my camera. Like, it is more than just picking out a cute blouse or button up and having the ring light on. Your audience can be engaged by anything. So some kooky things I have done on purpose. I've set a timer on my Keurig to make a coffee break in the middle of a session. And so, like, my Keurig goes off and I'm like, coffee break for everyone. And it's just hilarious when people realize that I really did plan a coffee break for them. I sometimes bring my dogs on camera as a jolly interruption. What I've learned, Dr. Dempster, is everything is an opportunity to engage your audience when you're on camera. Everything. Yeah. Everything they're looking at is an opportunity. So what I have done is I now think beyond just my voice. Like, your voice and what you're wearing is not the only thing that can capture your audience's attention. Like, my setup is clutch. And if I don't have a good setup, I find a place with a cool setup because your audience is going to want to know, where are you? What you up to? What you working on? And that is a talking point that really could engage your audience. So don't sleep on a physical background. I rarely use virtual backgrounds now. So that's the thing I've changed. I don't do virtual backgrounds.
Mm, that's a good point. That's interesting.
They be wanting to look. What is that? Who is that? What kind of trophy is that? What is that a trophy for? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of this. And so sometimes I'll place trinkets in the background on purpose. Around the holidays, maybe.
Yeah. So like being intentional about like goofy things or like some of the things you do beyond just what you're going to say, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, so beyond, like, I appreciate the story about the NutriRat because that is hilarious. Also, if you don't know what that is and you look it up, you're welcome. But also, we're sorry because they're kind of freaky looking. So just, you know, fair warning. But it kind of reminds me of some advice I give to my students who are like, you know, new teachers and trying to, you know, figure out how to create their presence in front of a classroom. You know, they're so shy and timid and like a lot of times like very intimidated about going into a classroom. And I always try to like remind them, like, you have to be intentional about what you're going to do. If you know you will forget to, you know, transition a certain way or like say a certain thing in front of your students, build that into what you're looking at. Like, if sometimes they forget, you know, like I always added notes to my slides, you know, so like I would preset up things, like you said, like setting up a coffee break and like have that go off because I knew in the moment I would completely forget to like do certain things that I knew needed to happen throughout the lesson. That's a good point. That kind of brings it back to like preparing to teach and, you know, building in certain things that you know will impact the audience or impact your students.
You're absolutely right. It's the one thing you would forget as a virtual teacher to plan for.
Yeah.
Like, and what my background is going to be.
it's something like things like that come so naturally to, you know, veteran teachers, like teachers who have been in a classroom for years. They don't need the reminders. They don't need to like pre-set up all of these things. But when you're teaching in a new format, like virtually, or when you're a brand new, you know, little baby teacher, like you have to set those things up beforehand. You have to kind of think about all of those things. And when you were talking about that, it just reminded me of conversations I've had with our students who, like, I'm observing when they're out in the field or things like that. So everything's related. The profession of teaching is all related, right?
Yeah.
All right. So my question for you is, what is the craziest thing that has happened while you were doing a live training?
Oh, this, no. Why would you ask me that?
Because I need to know.
Why would you ask me that? That is so, oh. Okay, I've had some traumatizing things happen.
Oh, no.
Well, like, so the power has gone out. Oh, I'm sure it's happened to lots of you, but. Yeah. I'm a very prepared person. So like in that moment, I had a backup power. So backup power comes on. It's great. Everything's going great. My Wi-Fi hotspot didn't work. So like I had no cell service either. And so there was no way I could communicate with this audience who was somewhere in Michigan, just wondering what is happening. In that vein, the craziest, I mean,
tell us.
It's crazy for me. It's in the vein of no electricity. So same scenario. I didn't get any electricity. I didn't get any service. The storm was going really, really poorly. And I had another class to teach. I taught the whole thing outside on my porch in the middle of a storm. Sure did.
Oh my goodness.
Lightning, thunder. Rain. Wow. And I taught the whole thing with the thunder and rain in the background, and the audience was like, are you okay? Like, there's light, there is lightning behind you. And I was like, it's fine, we have things to learn. I just didn't want there to be an excuse. And like, in retrospect, I probably should have like turned everything off and been safer, but I just really love teaching virtually. And I was like, okay, y'all gonna join this storm with me. Let's go.
Marcus said, listen, Mother Nature, you gonna learn today.
You gonna learn today. We got things to do. I've had audience members do crazy stuff. Oh, yeah. People who forget to unmute themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I hear things I should not be hearing. For me, anytime something embarrassing happens, I just I'm gonna show my hand. I pause the recording. I apologize to everybody. We laugh about it. We actually have a moment. And then I start the recording back. And when the recording of the session renders, nobody who wasn't there knows what actually happened.
Knows what happened. That's genius. That's, you know, that's
fun
good.
Fun fact. I've very had many smart. Embarrassing moments, but I'm trying to keep my job.
Well, yeah. Well, things happen, but the whole world doesn't need to know about them, you know.
But just yeah, You could probably imagine. You know what? I'm going to create a ghost personality and tell y'all about
okay.
it someday.
Perfect. Great.
Future world.
All right, guys. I want to take us home for this episode.
Take us home, girl. Take us home.
Yes. So, my two things that I want to share or say as some advice. I shared this with my students at the end of class. On Tuesday, it was our first day of class, and I just wanted to set them off, you know, with something positive and encouraging or a little bit of advice as they start off their semester. So my first thing is find things that bring you joy, something that provides an escape or brings you happiness when you need it the most. Surround yourself with those things. Find what that is for you, and it's different for everyone. Maybe it's, you know, a motivational hashtag on TikTok or Instagram or, you know, something that you can explore and go through that, you know, brings a smile to your face. Or maybe it's, you know, a regular coffee date with a friend or something like that. Find whatever works for you, brings you joy, and you know it is something that you can connect to when you, you know, need some uplifting the most as you, you know, go through life and job and family and all these things that you're dealing with. And my second thing is find your people. Find the people that lift you up when you need it the most, that can offer advice or even just kind words, supportive words. Think something that will, you know, help you get through those tough times, or even someone who is there for you, a shoulder to cry on, to lean on when you need it. But then they also, you know, provide you the grace to figure things out on your own when you need it, because that balance is super important. So find your people, whether it's someone you know in real life or somebody online. You know, there are so many people out there that you can find on various platforms that even if you don't necessarily interact with them, they can still be your people. They are still your people because you can, you know, you connect with what they say or what they do. But just find your people, because that is so important.
You're absolutely right. It makes all of this, I guess, tolerable. You know, it makes it doable. It makes you focus on the reason why we choose to teach and to be involved in education. So find something that makes you happy, you know, and it can be hard. I've had a tough time. I'm an extrovert. This pandemic has sucked for me, but I too am heeding Dr. Dempster's advice and finding things that make me happy and leaning into my tribe. Thank you, Dr. Dempster, because y'all not alone. And like, No matter what you bring on, technology included, it should be your friend and not your foe. And so find your happy place, baby. Please, Lord, no matter what we talk about, just find something that produces joy in you. I love that. I love that. Friends, we've reached the end of our season 2 premiere. So thank y'all so much for listening. I appreciate you spending this time with us. And make sure you check out the show notes for tons of links and information and everything we talked about this episode. We'll probably put a picture of a Nutria rat in the show notes.
No, not the Nutria rat. On that note, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We'll have links and usernames in the show notes. So leave us a like, comment, tweet, or love at any time.
Thank you. Thank you again for tuning in, y'all. We hope you'll come back again next time. This was just fantastic. I'm getting all teary-eyed. This was so fun.
Oh. It's good to be back.
See y'all soon.
Bye.